I'm Sam and I'm an addict. I'm sort of ordering the butterflies to come into formation and go up the stairs at the moment. This is my third chair, so you have to bear with me. I'm a year clean. I was asked recently to do two other chairs. I've had a really rough time recently and I couldn't even share without crying a few weeks ago. So I said no to one chair in a home group. Then I was asked again to do another chair and I said no. And then Charlie last night asked me to come here and I was like, okay, you want me to do a chair? I'll do a chair. And then I was asked to do another chair tomorrow night. So I guess I had to do chairs. I don't know why. I've got no idea. But as the, you know, as we know, you only keep what you have by giving it away. And anything that I've been asked to do in NA is service. And if it wasn't for the service that was provided by other people, then this year wouldn't have been the transitional change that it's been. So I'm very grateful to everyone who's ever done a chair or made me a cup of tea or given me a book or a hug or a smile or a bit of encouragement. I'm aware that my voice is shaking, just bear with me. I hope I will calm down. I was born into a family of addicts. My mother's an alcoholic who stopped drinking 25 years ago. She went to AA for 2 years, and I would consider her to be a dry drunk. But she stopped going to AA because she was sick of hearing people moaning about their lives, as she put it. My dad is a functioning alcoholic who's got no idea he's an alcoholic. I discovered weed at 16 and it wasn't alcohol, so that worked for me, that was fine. And then this obviously progressed. I was that first wave of people back in the 80s who started raving and did the proper ecstasy and, you know, really had it. We couldn't afford coke. We'd buy a line before we went out partying. That's what we could afford. We played about with speed, acid, you know, you name it, we did it. By the time I got through to my early 20s, I'd smacked my serotonin levels so much that I was diagnosed as bipolar. Now, I don't know if that diagnosis came about because I was born with a chemical imbalance, or I created a chemical imbalance because of the chemicals that I took. But one way or another, it was all chemically based. So if I rewind a bit, nothing I say about my past is said in a way that I want any pity or, you know, anything like that. It's just, these are just facts. It's like they happened to someone else. I disassociated from my body and my mind so much that I only realised last year that I'd experienced trauma. There are things that we don't say in mixed meetings. There are things that we only save for women's meetings, in the same way that there are things that men only talk about in men's meetings. And I think that's bollocks. I've also been told not to tell anyone that I'm bipolar, and that's bollocks as well. Whenever I've mentioned it, usually somebody after a meeting has come up to me and said, I've just been diagnosed with bipolar, I don't know what it is, my best friend's just had a manic episode, or my dad was bipolar. So without being completely honest, that's not a full message. It's not a full message. So there was emotional abuse at home. It was violence as a child, but as we got bigger, it was emotional violence. So before my mum hit that bottle of whiskey every night in the day, I was her beautiful, intelligent daughter. But by the time she'd done half a bottle, I was an ugly little slut who thought with her knickers, even though I was a virgin. And I'd been with a guy for 8 months. There was a switch in thinking. So in one respect, I can understand why that bipolar diagnosis came in. I can understand the splitting of my personality. And that, at 16, was when I discovered weed. I remember being in A-level English literature classes and passing out, and my tutor, passing out, saying to me, is everything all right at home? I was like, yeah, everything's okay at home. My dad worked abroad. I had to tell him at 18 that my mum was an alcoholic because he drank so much he didn't realise when he came home what was going on. And I started getting depressed. And these depressions continued. And then the manias kicked in. Manias like being on speed, ecstasy and acid all at once. That's what mania is. You think... It's amazing. It's not amazing for everyone else. It's a pain in the ass. really is. But for you, it's amazing. Massive creativity. Amazing thoughts. You're really connected to the universe. You're chatting to God. You think you're Jesus, which in fact is really just Christ consciousness. But it's a confusion of realities, which society then drug with chemical coshes and mental hospitals, and it's not a pleasant experience. I was raped at 19. I had a miscarriage. I had an abortion. These are things that women don't talk about, but they really fuck us up. Emotionally, they fuck us up. If you're bipolar and your hormone balance is all over the place, that will send you into mania. I don't think anybody realises the impact of that change within your own body when you're growing a life has on a woman. It's huge. It's, you know, it is what it is. So there'd been a series of incidents, and I ended up in the psychiatric ward of Brookwood Hospital for a couple of months. When I came out, When I went in, they thought I was a drug addict, and my parents thought I was a drug addict, and my parents were really relieved to find out that I wasn't a drug addict, that I was, in fact, just bipolar. They didn't want me to be a drug addict, and, in fact, when they tested my blood, there were no drugs in my system at all. But I think the two very much go hand in hand, because I was basically trying to deal with feelings and emotions by self-medicating. I now do that with lithium on a daily basis. But extreme emotions, it's hard to describe. At that period of time, when I came out of the hospital, I didn't know who I was or where I was going or what I was. It's like your brain is stripped back to nothing. I then started going out with heroin addicts who were violent. I started smoking crack. I never tried heroin, which is just as well. Because I would have loved it. I like the come downs from ease. I like the downers. I took Valium during the day because it was fun, just to be relaxed. I smoked a lot of weed. Basically, I didn't love myself. I had no self-respect. I felt like a useless waste of space that had nothing to offer anybody with a mental health diagnosis. And there was no... I had no foundation. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what was going on. To fast forward, I got a degree in art. I got a good degree in art. I don't know how I got my good degree in art, but I did somehow. And then I moved up to West London, and I chose to move to a place where everybody takes drugs. There are lock-ins every night. There's a party every day. There are 10 drug dealers down Portobello, and it's an area of London where it's socially acceptable to use drugs. And I did for 13 years. The upside of that is that I can now walk to 2 meetings a day. I'm surrounded by fellowship. There are loads of people in NA. So within that community where drug taking is the norm in a way that I've never experienced anywhere else, now recovery is the norm. I'd like to say now, the drug that I was completely addicted to is marijuana, so I managed to get addicted to the drug that is non-addictive, which just goes to show that addiction is a state of mind and not a substance. I thought crack was a waste of cocaine. I did. I couldn't do ecstasy because of my serotonin levels, etc., etc. DMT was great, blah, 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 all of these things, but it was all avoidance. So that's my experience in a nutshell. A year ago, I had a crazy summer going to festivals, you know, doing the things that we do. And at Halloween last year, we ended up doing a shitload of coke and There were the usual nightmares and dramas that you get with drug taking. There's coke on that plate over there. No, there isn't. But we've got another rack. No, we've done it. But how many lines? Blah, 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 blah. 20 quid had gone missing. And I had a massive anxiety attack. And my anxiety attack lasted 5 hours. And it was at that point that I surrendered. And it was at that point I realised that everything awful that had happened in my life was to do with drugs or alcohol. I'd obviously had some really good times as well, but everything shit, all the abuse, all the domestic violence, all the emotional, you know, deprivation, all of it was linked to drugs or alcohol in some way. And within a week, I found myself in an NA meeting. And I've managed to stay clean ever since, which is, I'm just really stubborn. It was when I came out of mental hospital, I said I'd never go back, and I never have. And I feel very much the same about this, but clearly a day at a time. When I first came into NA, you know, it's a new language. You don't know what the rooms are, and you don't know what, you know, this time around is. And, you know, all these sayings, I didn't know what 13th stepping was. I was very glad someone told me because, you know, I had that experience, but had a woman not taken me to one side and explained, then, you know, I might have made a ridiculous decision, but I didn't, fortunately. I found it difficult at first. I'd given up my life, I'd given up my friends, I'd given up my social life, and everyone kept banging on about fellowship. And I was like, well, where's this fellowship? I was just going to meetings. No one was inviting me for coffee. Nobody was reaching out particularly. There were little cliques of people. And I was like, I've given up my life to do this life. And it was confusing and it was hard. But, you know, slowly over time I made friends and that side of things developed. I found it very difficult when someone I became close to in the rooms was relapsing continually. This was not something I knew how to deal with. It was a new experience. And people were saying, oh, don't talk to your friend, ask them to come to a meeting. And I was like, I don't want to be a total cunt. My friend's obviously suffering. I want to support my friend. So I continue to support my friend, and my friend now has a really good chunk of clean time. But that being clean and experiencing that level of loss and confusion as an adult was... it was earth-shattering. It was... and that's just one example of the way things have been over the year. There have been beautiful things as well. It's like... I learned about meditation and Reiki 13 years ago to deal with being bipolar. So I'd sat in spiritual circles. I'd meditated. That was normal for me. But I've never been in an environment where people are so fucking honest and people look at their shadow side and people expose themselves. And you can sit in a room with someone you can't fucking stand, but you still have unconditional love for that person because they've got 10 years clean. They've done it. We're all aiming for the same goal. And the unity in the rooms, it's so bizarre. I've never experienced anything like it. It's just amazing. You go anywhere. I went to my first convention. I was absolutely gobsmacked. I was exhausted. I went to like 5 meetings in a day and came out reeling. I'd been there. It was just, I was overwhelmed. And the clean time countdowns are just... incredible. And just seeing people talk honestly about their feelings and emotions and their experience and owning it. It's like the domestic violence relationships I was in. I could have left. I chose to stay. I could have walked out at any point. But I suppose the most important thing that I've learned in the last year, as I've gone from referring to myself as a girl to now referring to myself as a woman, is about love. And it's, I'm learning to love myself, which seems quite sad, really, at 44, that you're just learning to love yourself. but I am learning to love myself. And within that ability to love myself, that will enable other people to love me properly. I can't get what I'm not giving. And that's the example I've seen in the rooms. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day, is the unconditional love that we have or learn to have for ourselves and for each other. And for me, that's what NA has given me. And I'll leave it there.